Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tech on Rec, brought to you by Vivacity Tech PBC. Tech on Rec is a podcast for educators and technology experts in the K-12 space to learn, share, and grow their knowledge on ways to unwreck their school tech.
I'm Nikki, your host for today's episode, and I am so excited to introduce you all to Melissa Fierro. Her infectious personality immediately caught my attention when we met at IETC, a tech conference in Springfield, Illinois. With over 23 years of experience in education, including her most recent role as the Technology Integration Specialist at Kankakee School District, Melissa is dedicated to enhancing teaching with technology. Despite her busy life as a Mimi, she remains passionate about travel, both for fun and work, and frequently attends these kinds of tech conferences. Melissa and I got to talking about one of her favorite tech tools, and mine too, interactive flat panels. Her understanding of IFPs emphasizes her role in reshaping how teachers and students engage with classroom technology. Enjoy my chat with Melissa. Melissa, yes. Thank you for joining. This is pretty cool. So here we are at IETC.
Yeah.
Did not think that I was going to be podcasting while here. You come to our booth at Vivacity. We're just having the conversations. You mentioned that you did a presentation here on interactive flat panels, which is one of my many passions when it comes to like innovative technology. So then we started having that conversation. Yeah. Now here we are podcasting.
And now here we are.
Yeah. Because I wanted to like pick your brain on all things IFPs. So thank you. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. This is going to be very cool.
I'm so excited.
So I got to kick off because I'm not sure how much our listeners know about interactive flat panels. So I'm going to keep referring to interactive flat panels and IFPs as we go through our time here today. But for those that are not familiar with interactive flat panels, can you explain to me what they are and how they differ from traditional displays like whiteboards or projectors?
So IFP, interactive flat panel, it's the key term there is interactive. And so they're basically a giant cell phone because they use, everyone that I have seen uses an Android operating system on the back end. And so they're basically a giant Android cell phone, 65, 75, 86 inches, that's in your classroom for you to use. They range from anywhere from 20 to 40 points of touch. So you can have multiple people, multiple students up utilizing the device at the same time. Where with, you know, well, yes, with a traditional whiteboard, just like a regular whiteboard, you can have as many kids up there as you've got markers. But, you know, with a projector, you know, the bulbs burn out, the color wheels go out. And with an interactive flat panel with an IFP, the only thing you got to, you know, if there's much smaller failure rate and there's very little maintenance to them compared to a projector. So one of the things that I like about them is I can use them with the lights on, right? Because with a projector, so you can't, right? You've got to, at the very least, you have to dim the lights. And so now your students who have visual issues, they can't see their paper, they can't see their keyboard on their one-to-one device as well. They're struggling and they're down there like looking at it tightly, where with an IFP, I can have the lights on. Almost all of them that I've seen on the market right now are 4K or better. So the crispiest of the vision, you know, like it's nice. Where a projector, like if the bulb is starting to go out, right, you got to turn the lights down even more because it's starting to dim if the older ones have color wheels inside them, right? And so that's like how the color gets from the projector, you know, to the whiteboard or to the screen, right?
That could be a whole nother.
Right. Oh, yeah. And so like, there's just not, it's not as nice. And so with the IFPs, they hit all of the things much, much better. And I like that about them compared to like the OGs,
yeah,
the projectors.
Okay. So we're here talking because I said I wanted to pick your brain, which, yeah, I'm super excited about. Let's take it back a little bit. So, yeah. Yes, I just mentioned that you did the presentation here at IETC, but your knowledge of IFPs, I mean, just what you just spoke about right now with the displays and the whiteboards, like your knowledge is so there. So tell me about your background. Where did this knowledge of IFPs come from? How did we get here that you are presenting at IETC to talk about interactive flat panels? And then we'll go from there.
So at the time, I didn't know it, but it was my last full year in the classroom. And I didn't know that it was. Our director of technology, who is now my supervisor, got a sample of an interactive flat panel and brought it into my room because everybody said, well, have Melissa look at it. Have Melissa play with it. She'll let us know if this is the direction that we want to go in. The only one in the district. There were no others. And so they brought it into my classroom And they set it up and he's like, I'm going to get you training. Don't worry, I will get you training. 3 weeks go by and the company vice president and their director of something or other come down to finally give me my training. And I, with my supervisor standing there, like at the time, tech director, I showed them how to use their own device in ways they didn't even know it could do. Because that's, I love technology and I love purposeful technology in the classroom. Right, not just tech for tech's sake. I can't stand tech for tech's sake. Like, oh, I've got this new tool. Now I got to figure out how to use it. No, it's I've got this project. Is there a tool I can use to make that project better? That's what I prefer about learning and technology. And so from there, that's when he realized I was going to be an asset to the district, not just to the building I was in, working as a technology integration specialist. The first job that he gave me was to determine which brand of interactive flat panel we were going to use in our district because we were remodeling our high school and the devices we had at the time, the smart boards that we had at the time, those, you know, the one point of touch, maybe two if you were lucky, you know what I mean? Didn't matter what they were because there were only two brands at the time, right? There were smart boards and there were Prometheans. And so, but now there's this plethora of interactive flat panels. And so number one, is this something that we want in our classrooms? Is it worth the cost? Because they're not necessarily cheap, but they're also not expensive. And is this the direction that we want to go in? And so I went to a bunch of different conferences and looked at all the interactive flat panels that I could, brought in several different brands, had them tried out with my teachers. And I learned about all those brands because I needed to show my teachers how to use them when they got them into their classrooms.
Right.
And it sparked like, I want to know more about them. Like we selected a singular brand to use in our district, but I still want to know what's going on with the rest of them. Right? It's like, they're like former students, right? Like, yeah, that was the valedictorian, but how are the rest of them doing? Right? And so I keep an eye on them and I stop in their booths and I interact with the companies and make sure, you know, and stay up to date on the different things. Like when we first got our first one, it had, you know, there were some that had 10 points of touch and some that had 20. The most of them now are up to 40 points of touch, which is huge because what that means is when you have multiple students up there working, you're not going to get that overlap. Because if we remember when they started off with those multi points of touch, if the two students were, and by multi, it was two. If you had the two students working too close together, the pin would cut across, right? And so it was a problem. And so that's why the more points of touch there are, the better, because that means that the students are able to interact freely on the device. Yes. So if you're having them doing searches or whatever it is that you're having them do, like a virtual lab or math races, or they're graphing something, like those kinds of things. When you have multiple students up there, you don't have to worry about them, like they're writing, crossing over each other. Now you might worry about them bumping into each other still. And so, yeah, but that's where I came at it from the interactive flat panels and why I know so much about them. And then the presentation I did at IETC was titled, They Bought Me What? And it was device agnostic, because what ends up happening right now is that with the IFPs, teachers are only getting trained on the device that they have, and they're showing them just those things that are unique to that device. And nobody's talking to them about how to get the students up and using the device, except using like the things that are inside their software. And so my thing was, it's like, how do we use them, period? Like, what's universal? Because some districts, like, well, my district decided to go with one brand. Some districts decided that one brand was better for their lower grades and a different brand was better for their middle grades and a different better for their high school. So they may have three or four different brands because they wanted to get what's best for those grade level teachers instead of just one universal brand, making life easier for, you know, students as they progress through, or the technology department, you know, like you do what you got to do. And every district is different and I can't fault them for making those decisions. And so it's the same thing though. Like, how do we get students up and using a piece of classroom technology? Because that's what it is. It's classroom technology, and the class is not just the teacher. It's the teacher and the students.
But I do understand the hesitation teachers have, right? Because one day they come in their classroom, they have this interactive flat panel.
Yeah.
They have to learn how to use it.
Yeah.
Now they're feeling the pressure of being the expert. And they also don't want it to break, right?
Right. So that's their biggest fear. Yes. Because they're looking at it, and like that's why the title of my session was They Bought Me What? Because that's what happened, right? These IFPs are being rolled out, which is fantastic, right? Somebody made a decision like, we're going to buy these for this entire building. And so the teachers come in on the first day of school and they're like, what is that? And so somebody shows up and shows them how to turn it on, how to plug their computer into it, and where the whiteboard is, and how to switch from their computer to the whiteboard. And they're like, have fun.
Yeah, see ya.
See ya. And they walk out the door. And so now they're like, what just happened here? And so that's where I come in like wanting to make sure the teachers understand. Like, first, I get it. There's a fear that they're going to break it because, like I said, it's a trans cell phone and they don't realize that it's not, they're durable. These things are, they're durable. Like, I've seen one of mine break and only pictures of two others that have broken. And that's across all brands where something bad has happened where the screen broke. Otherwise, they're not. Like, I heard a story of one where a pipe burst above their interactive lab panel over the weekend. And they came in on Monday and there was water just flowing down it. And they unplugged the device and they called the company. And the company's like, well, it's under warranty. Let us know, you know, like, let it dry out, see what happens. And the only thing that was bad was the sound bar was bad. Yeah. And so, like, to me, that's like, you know what I mean? They're durable.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know when the pipe burst, you know, the pipe could have burst that morning because it wasn't, you know what I mean? But they're designed for classrooms. Like, the companies that made these did not make them where you sneeze on it and it breaks.
Right, they're so fragile.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I love going to the demonstrations and watching these guys. Like, have you seen them where they take their college rings and slam it into the board? And you're like,
Yeah, I'll be, oh, that's so painful. Maybe I shouldn't do
that.
I do the same thing. I wince. I don't look
because
I'm afraid of what I'm
going to
see, but nothing happens.
But nothing happens. They're fine. And so that's my point. Like, they're designed for classrooms and for teachers to use them with students.
Yeah, you said there's so many things that you said that I want to go back to. My previous role I did, which is where my love of interactive flat panels comes from, I did PD on IFPs. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started going to schools and really supporting teachers doing what you do in your role with how to use an IFP that I realized the reason why teachers were so hungry for this was because if you Google, like, how do I use an interactive flat panel, there really aren't videos coming up with lesson ideas for teachers on how to go about using it. So they really, like, they're left to their own devices to figure it out. And one thing teachers do not have is time, right? They don't have the time.
And that, I mean, that was a positive side effect of only having two brands back in the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. We only had Smart Notebook and Promethean. And Smart Notebook had their own software and Promethean had Active Inspire. So you only had two, right? So you could go to the Smart Exchange and get already created Smart Notebook lessons.
Yep.
You could go to Active Inspire, had their own library, and you could go there and get already created lessons. And so that, like, it was just the two of them, but it was easy to find pre-created content. Problem we have now is IFPs. There's, like I told you, I think there's like six major brands right now. And all of them use different software. Yes, they're all Android-based. They're all similar in how, but the software is different. And so how do we find lessons that are interactive, getting students up and using the tools?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the big thing. And you're right. Like, it is, it's a desert out there right now because nobody's creating content for them because it's not something that's come to the top, you know, that's floated to the top of, you know, like, nobody's taking that time right now to create them because right now we're still all in survivor mode.
Yes.
Because it is post-COVID, but it's still so close to post-COVID that we're still trying to fill in those gaps and recover that loss that we had from students missing a year and a half to 2 years of in-person instruction. And so there's no time for teachers to sit back and create content when they're busy doing interventions.
Yeah, their time is elsewhere.
It's elsewhere. Like elsewhere. Right. Yeah. You only have so much time on your day and so much on your plate. And right now, creating new interactive content hasn't floated to the top.
So we've kind of hit on this. Let's keep hitting on this. I love a good pro and con list when it comes to IFPs. And there are a lot that are out there now. And with what you're seeing in the classroom, you've mentioned some pros and cons already with the software.
Right.
The fact that there are so many. Any other pros and cons that you're seeing when it comes to interactive flat panels, things that teachers are wanting and needing, but they're not seeing maybe?
So, like, one of the things I do like I said, is you can have multiple students up at the device working at the same time. I also like that compared to, like, I was talking about, like, the OG stuff where we had the smart boards and the Promethean panels, those were stuck. Those were static on the wall. They could only be on the wall because otherwise you had to realign them constantly, and they were in one position. The interactive flat panel, and I highly recommend to anybody that they get them on height adjustable mounts, whether it's on the wall or on a stand, because then no matter if you're teaching kindergarten students or high school students, you're able to adjust the height based on the students and the teacher, as well as making them ADA compliant for your students who may be in wheelchairs or are, you know, vertically challenged. You know what I mean? Like, they just can't. And so, because I've walked into classrooms, it's actually a story I tell people all the time. why we wanted height adjustable wall mounts in our district. In the building that I worked in, we had a teacher who was 6'2". So her smart board was mounted to her height. She's 6'2". It's really high up on the wall. She retires and the teacher who comes in to replace her is 5'1½" if you ask her. And so her husband actually had to create a box for her to stand on so she could use her smart board, because the smart board was mounted so high up that she could only reach like the bottom, like third of her board. And that's huge. Where the height adjustable mounts, whether it's, you can now adjust the height, it doesn't affect anything. We're not having to recalibrate the board. We're not having to like fix its position or anything. And it doesn't take like an entire crew to come in and move the board to fix the right height. And I think that, I think, is one of the biggest pluses to the interactive flat panels, okay. As well as, like I said, being able to leave the lights on. Most of them have really good sound bars, especially compared to a projector in the ceiling. You know what I mean? Or the teacher having an external speaker put into her computer. Right?
Good old days.
Right? Yeah. And so the cons are, for most of them, because I did see one with a different screen today, the screens get smudgy. And so they've got to be cleaned on a regular basis, like at least once a week, if not every day. And teachers, again, that's something like, do you have time for that? The infrared bezel that goes around the perimeter of the boards, which is how you actually get your touch, dust collects on it. If that gets too dusty, your touch gets wonky. And so teachers have to know, like, don't just use a cloth. Like, you have to teach the teachers, like, you got to use a little feather duster, clean your bezels. And so, like, that's, I mean, those are, like, teachers don't have time to clean their IFPs. They just don't have time. And that is, in my personal opinion, one of the biggest drawbacks to them is that.
Okay.
Is that they have to be cleaned.
One of the advantages I've seen for sure, and you've mentioned this, so I'm just bringing it back up to talk about it some more, is the collaboration that can happen in a classroom, the engagement that students are able to experience with an IFP. Again, doing what you do, have you seen examples of this in your district, in schools that you work in?
Yeah. So one of my favorites is actually, it's an activity I did in my classroom with students, and it's one I now have. The person who took over my position, it does it as well. So I taught 8th grade earth science my last 4 years in the classroom. And one of the best things that I was able to do when I got an IFP was, because I taught plate tectonics and we taught weather and we taught climate. So there was a lot of mapping activities that went on. And one of my favorites was I put a map on the board without just a map of the world and asked the students to find me an earthquake. Find me an earthquake that's happened in the last 7 days, right? And they go, as soon as you find one, you're going to put a dot on the map where the earthquake happened. The smaller the dot, the smaller the earthquake, the bigger the dot, the bigger the earthquake. So I was teaching them location as well as the Richter scale, like how do we measure earthquakes? And so we started with 7 days and they were putting earthquakes up. And then we went out to 14 days and then out to a month. And they were able to, as a class, because they're getting up and they're putting the dots on the board, on the mat, they were able to, on their own, develop the ring of fire and to see like where these earthquakes were occurring. Right. And they were starting to see like where earthquakes were occurring all along the plate boundaries without me having the plate boundaries weren't on the map. And so they were able to start developing ideas. And so we were able to start talking. Remember, this was 8th grade. So they've heard of plate tectonics. They've heard of plate boundaries before. But now I want them to recall that information on their own, like pulling it back from the recesses of their minds. And it's always fun because now they're Googling like, I remember this. What is this information? And so then as a class, like looking at the map that they created with the dots that they've added to it. And the best was having, when I did, I taught 6 classes. There was 1 year where I didn't take the dots down. Or so it was like all day long, they just kept building on the map. And so then we were able to see even more, like more pronounced, this is how many earthquakes there are. And so it was collaboration across all 190 of my students in 6 classes. Which was kind of cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
That gave me goosebumps. Yeah. That is very cool.
Yeah.
And that's such an easy thing to be able to do.
Right.
With students too.
Yeah. And so because you could have more than one student up there working at a time, they weren't having to wait turns, right? So like you and I found different earthquakes. I'm like, you tell me where yours is. And so you're over there putting yours in Indonesia and I'm putting mine over here in Peru. And we're both able to write at the same time as long as we're not bumping into each other. We couldn't have done that with the tech beforehand. And if I were just using a projector with a whiteboard, it wouldn't have stayed all day because I was going to need that space later.
Yeah.
I was going to need that space for other things later because this was like a 15-minute activity at the start of class. So now I'm going to have to erase it all so I can do the next thing.
Whereas now with an IFP, there's a save option. Save as.
Yes.
You can save it to the panel. You can put it in your Google Drive. You can pull it back up.
Yeah.
All very streamlined.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's just, it was there. And I could use it class period after class period after class period. I could pull it up. When I just did one for each class, I could pull it up 2 days later and be like, okay, guys, remember when we made this? Let's talk about it. And so now, because we're talking about the difference between divergent versus convergent plate boundaries, are we seeing more earthquakes at convergent versus divergent? Like, what are you seeing? And it's their data that they created, that they found and researched. And so now we're bringing that back. We're doing, we're that callback, right? We're doing that callback to a couple of days before, where I couldn't do that with a projector and a whiteboard.
Okay, so a lesson where that interactive flat panel allowed for that collaboration to happen.
Yeah.
What about day-to-day? How are you seeing teachers in their day-to-day teaching world using that IFP?
From little things as like students coming in and taking their own attendance, asking questions, like, so when they walk in the room, they're writing the, like, if it's a math class, like, what questions did you have from last night's homework? And just writing the problem number on the board. So the teacher has access to that. And again, before the whiteboard, I know this because I taught middle school math. I didn't even have a camera phone at the time. That information was gone. So I didn't have any data collection, right? So as soon as we got in with the problem, I erased it. But now I'm able to like hold that slide, keep that slide. And so now I can start tracking like what kind of problems are we struggling with?
Yeah.
And so like the students as a group collaborated to create the question list that they needed to do. And now I'm able to track that data to see where are we struggling as we're progressing through the lessons. I like seeing my lower grade teachers use them as a center.
Oh, tell me more.
And so they, like my K-3 classrooms, will use their interactive flat panels as a center. So they'll lower it down to student height, and they'll have a sorting activity if it's a math center. They'll have a virtual lab that the students are going to be working on for science using either FetSims or something from their science textbook. They're going to have, or it might be like an improperly done sentence, right? Like there's a couple different slides with bad sentences on them, or the students have to correct the spelling and the grammar. Like those kinds of things where the students are using the device while the teacher's doing small group instruction somewhere else. And that's their learning center, is that device. And so the teacher can still like quickly peek over because it's a 75-inch device, and they can see what the students are doing, make sure that they're on task, that they're not doing something that they're not supposed to be doing, and still see that data because if she doesn't get rid of those slides, the data is, it's going to be there for her to go back and look at later.
I want to talk a little bit about the admin side of IFPs, but before we do, because I don't want to forget, we've talked a little bit about your presentation at IITC. And I'd like to make it available for our listeners.
100%. Yes, I will send you the link. It's going to be a bit.ly link.
Okay.
I don't remember it off the top of my head. We can add that in.
And can you just remind me again, when they go to see your slide deck presentation, what are they walking away with from that, from your presentation?
And so inside the slideshow, it is a bunch of different activities that they can do to get students interacting with the IFP, because the key word in interactive flat panel is interactive. Because if it wasn't interactive, it'd just be a TV. And so, and that's the point. Like, if they wanted you to not be using it, having students using it, having you use it, they would have just bought you a television. They would have just bought you a projector again. And so that's the idea. Like, it's interactive for a reason. And it's not just like, oh, the teacher can touch it and do the things. Like, oh, that makes you Vanna White. Okay? That makes you Vanna White. And while she's a beautiful, wonderful person, and we want more than that.
Yeah, in the classroom.
In the classroom, we want more than just a Vanna White using the device. Like we.
Okay. So check out the presentation slide. That's what I'm going to recommend for everyone listening here. But switching over to that admin side, you actually already touched on this already. So you talked a little bit about having boards that maybe not necessarily mobile, but allow for some type of accessibility and inclusivity to everybody.
Yeah.
When you're talking, because you also mentioned that you go to these trade shows, you're talking to these IFP vendors and learning about the product. So one way that you're researching and gaining knowledge.
Yeah.
If you're working with the school or even talking to your admin about IFPs, and I guess, again, for the lack of a better word, the pros and cons, are there certain things that you're recommending that you're looking for?
So when I'm looking at them, I'm looking from an IT standpoint, from that back end. How easy are they to use? Because if they're hard to use, you're going to be troubleshooting a lot with your teachers. Also, do they have a device management system? So that way, if it is something is like where that I could look at it still in the office without, you know, before driving out to the school. Is it offline? Maybe that's part of our problem. Like, can I push out apps to it from the admin council? Can I turn, the board, like I'm driving past the school and it's, you know, it's after the football game on Friday night. It's 10:30 o'clock. It's 10:30 at night. And I drive past one of my elementary schools and the boards are all on. Can I go in somewhere on my device and just turn them all off?
Yeah.
Instead of having to pull over, knock on the door, have the custodian let me in and go, because I don't have an alarm key, and turn off all those boards by hand. So that's something that's huge on the IT side, because while they are designed to be left on for hours and hours on end, it's still not good. It's not healthy. It's a waste of energy. It's, you know, and so that's a big one, is being able to turn them off, being able to manage them from an admin standpoint,
yep,
on the back end remotely.
Okay.
And then when you're making those decisions of versus wall mount versus a cart, you have to think about what does that space look like and what's the trade-off for a cart versus a wall mount. So for carts, there are none of them that don't take up a massive amount of floor space. That you're going to have a lot of area that it's going to take up, because it's, they're not lightweight. It's a 75-inch touchscreen interactive flat panel. They're not light. And so your cart has to be able to balance that out. Some of the carts are more slim than others, but what are you trading off by giving up that much floor space to being able to move it? Because that's what it boils down to. And then if you are going to mount it on the walls, please, I beg of you, don't put it over top of the teacher's whiteboard that's already there. Don't take that space from them. Like, they get a little grumpy when you do that.
Okay. So leave that. Give them additional space with the IFP.
Yeah. Like, if you can, like, find a blank spot that's more centralized in the room as well, if you can. I know sometimes you can't, because cabinets and doors and windows and whatever, but try, please.
Yeah, if possible.
If possible.
Okay.
Yeah, and then also power access, making sure that there's power available to them, because they do have to be plugged in. And then most of them have Wi-Fi accessible. Some of them even have built-in PCs. And so making sure that they're able to get to the internet quickly. Like, where's that Wi-Fi access that they need?
Got it. Is there a feature that you're seeing on the different displays that are out there now that you think is like out of this world? Admin should be paying attention to it. It is like an up and coming trend.
I just saw today, there was one of the boards that I saw on the exhibit hall floor, that the boards can be managed inside the Google admin console, just like Chromebooks.
Yes.
That is huge, because as it sits right now with the majority of these boards, to get aftermarket Android apps put on them, there's a roundabout process that you have to do. But now, by them being managed in your Google admin console, just like your Chromebooks are, you're able to control the Play Store and determine what apps are available for them to add to their boards all on their own. And so you can make those just like you can with the Chromebooks. And so to me, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also providing teachers a full-fledged Chrome browser.
Yes.
Not a mobile browser.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yes, because Chromium is, well, it's Chromium.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
It is. You also mentioned earlier, like, an IFP, it is not overly expensive, but it does come at a cost.
It does.
Right? And for schools, it is an investment that they're making.
Yeah.
And I've heard, not a lot, but I do want to address one of the things that I hear with IFPs from the administrator standpoint, is that teachers are using them as a glorified projector. And that for sure is not true across the board. Like, teachers are so creative. What they're doing in the classroom is, it's so impressive, magical, in fact.
Yeah.
But if schools are looking to evaluate that return on investment, when, like, what is it that they should be looking for when they're considering those IFPs, or if they've already have them in their classroom, to making sure that they're getting their investment on them?
Well, first thing I would say is make sure that your teachers are trained. Right. So whether you do a train the trainer model, or you like bring in the trainers, but bring in trainers from either your vendor that sold them to you, Vivacity, or your.
I hope everyone heard that. She said Vivacity. That was a good plug. Thank you.
Like, just ask Vivacity. Like, they'll send you out a trainer. It'll be great. It'll be fun. Or the company themselves. Like, get that training. At the very least, do a train the trainer model. I prefer a train everybody model, because your trainers are going to be in there anyways and they're going to get the most out of it. But now everybody's getting key instruction from somebody who understands the board. Or when you do a train-the-trainer model, there's nothing wrong with those. Sometimes people don't show up to the sessions with the train-the-trainers because there's other things going on that day. And so if we can offer as many opportunities to get teachers trained to use something, and that's of all things, that's not just IFPs, it's my personal opinion. Yes, do a train-the-trainer model. You should always have people in your district who are experts or more expert than other people, where they're the key users, right? That there's somebody that you can say, you know what? I can't help you right now. Go talk to Nikki, right? Your administrator can say, like, Nikki's really, really good with her IFP. I'll email her. I'll CC you on it. And the two of you can set up a time where you can work with her to do what you need to do. And that's with any tech tool. That's with any curriculum, with anything, and how it should be. But we should offer those training opportunities to more than just the people that our administrators believe are going to be your point people. We should be able to say, like, anybody who wants to attend this training, we have 25 seats available. Please feel free to come. It's going to be at this time in this location, right? And then we send out marked invites to the people that we want to be, who we believe are going to be our leads on those tools, your trainers. And when you do that, now you're getting that information out to more people. And so just because, like, if you only have like 5 people show up to the training, yeah, they're going to get a really intensive training, but it's only 5 of them. And instead, if you've added it to 25, because it doesn't matter, like most trainings, whether it's 5 or 25, it's the same price.
Right.
So get as many warm bodies in the room as you can. And you'd be surprised who shows up sometimes.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Anytime I do a training, the number of people after that are like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And right. I'm like, I don't really feel like I did that much, but right. They're so hungry and they want to learn.
Yes.
And like, mm-hmm. Then they're taking that back to the classroom. And yeah. At the end of the day, it's only helping them and the students more.
Yes.
Right.
Like, right. Oh, yeah. And that's that joy. Right. That's for me as a technology integration specialist, as a tech trainer, like that's where I find that joy, is knowing that, yes, I helped 5 teachers today, but that means I helped anywhere from, you know, 125 students to, if they're teaching high school, maybe 500 students, or, you know, 1,000 students, depending on what their caseload is. And so that's what makes me happy. And it's like an intrinsic thing for me as a trainer, knowing that every teacher I've helped all of their students. All their students today and all their students in the future. And so that's one of the reasons why I became a trainer.
It's a win.
I'm affecting more students that way than just the students in my classroom. But as far as the ROE goes, that return on investment, train your teachers. Because I think that's one of the biggest issues that we're seeing. That's with any tech tool, but especially with IFPs, is they think, oh, well, it's just the new version of the smart board. And they say smart board like you say Coke, right? Like, you know, it's a soda. Right? Like, that's just the generic term that we use these days because we didn't have another term for those back then.
Right.
And it's the same idea. Like, we're just putting, but they're not the same. They're not even close. And how do we get teachers using them better? And so that's the biggest one, I think, is making sure that your teachers are trained to get that higher level of ROE on the devices. It's just that you have to train your teachers and set expectations, but not in a way that teachers feel like they're forced to use the tool, more so along the lines of, like, make it a game, you know, like encouraging them, like, to have students up and using the device. Like, I should, you know, and then if they are on height adjustable stands, you're going to know immediately which teachers aren't having students use the device, because there's going to be stuff in front of the device, like a bookshelf.
Interesting. Yes.
Yes. I've gone into teachers' classrooms.
Yeah. Okay.
I've new hired teachers who they transferred from other districts, like they're experienced veteran teachers, and wherever they were before, like they were just used to having a bookshelf under their device, but now students can't get to the device and they can't lower it down any further, or they've put stuff where they basically blockaded it where students can't get to it. They can't get to it. We can't have that. Like, I need you, like, we have to move all that. Can move that. And so, like, looking, those are subtle clues that people aren't using their IFPs the way that we want them to use them.
And an easy fix.
And they get the training. Yeah.
Okay. I've got to ask. Anything that I missed that you want to share with our audience about IFPs on the admin side, the teaching side?
They are worth it.
Okay.
In my personal opinion.
That is your advice.
That is my advice. IFPs are worth it. Look at multiple brands before you make a decision. Talk with a vendor like Vivacity, who sells more than one brand. Because they're going to help you, because you guys have looked at more than one. Like, you're not just saying, we only like this brand, right? Instead, you're saying, well, what is it that you're looking for? What's your price point? Like, what's your expectation for teachers? And then you're able to better steer them out of your arsenal of devices in the right direction for what they're looking for.
Great advice.
Yeah.
What a great way to end this podcast. Okay, so tell our audience about your school. If they want to find more information about your district, where do they find that information?
So it's Kankakee School District is where I work in Kankakee, Illinois. And our website is www.ksd111.org. Pretty simple. And if you go to the tech page, like under departments and technology, you'll see one that says Case Tech Self-Help. That's a direct link to my website that I maintain.
Next. Okay, tell me more.
And that's going to be the easiest way to get there. And inside there, there are, like I said, there's self-directed lessons for teachers. And they're open to anybody and everybody. They're not just open to my teachers. They're open to everybody. And there are ones on there about certain paid tools that we utilize in the district, as well as we are a Google district. And I'm in the process of updating. Google Classroom made a ton of updates over the summer. Like all the updates. And they're still making updates because the shapes are changing. They're getting more rounded. And either way. So I'm in the process of updating my Google Classroom slide decks because they're from 2020.
Okay.
And so they're a little outdated, and so I need to get those updated, and I am working on that, getting them ready for teachers. But there's one on there about Google Drawings, because Google Drawings has not changed at all.
I feel like that's the most underrated app that Google has.
That and Keep.
I agree. I use Keep on my phone, because that's how I do grocery list. But yes.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Very true.
Yeah.
Can we also link your site that you just mentioned?
Yes, most definitely. Yeah, I'll get you the link. Okay. And so the link to the presentation that we were just talking about, they bought me what, is bit.ly, so bit.ly, so bit.ly link. And then it's in all caps, IFPS.
And it is case sensitive, so make sure you hit those all caps. do you have any personal social handles?
So I have a personal Instagram, but I also have a professional Instagram, and I was not on there this week because it was just crazy. At IATC, normally I post when I go to conferences, but my professional Instagram is at Mrs. Fierro's Class, and then my personal one is at Missa 12K, and I'm on Instagram almost exclusively.
Okay. I knew this was going to be fabulous. Thank you so much. So this was so great. We should turn this into like three separate podcasts. It's so lovely. But please check out Melissa. And if you have any questions, reach out to us. She is oh so knowledgeable on all things IFPs. And I just can't thank you enough. So thank you for your time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this so very, very much.
Yay. Okay. Yeah. We might have to do it again.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
Have a good day, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Tech Unwrecked. If you had as much fun as we did and want to keep exploring new ways to unwreck tech, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. You can stay connected and see what we're up to by following us on Instagram @TechUnwrecked and on X @TUnwrecked.